Alisa Ganeeva has been touring the United States with three other young writers, all of them winners of the Russian Debut Literary Prize, which received 70,000 submissions last year. She's also a prize-winning literary critic, and she joins me now to talk about writing in post-Soviet Russia. Her 2009 story, Salam Dalgat, which has won a number of prizes, has been published in English in an anthology of works by debut prize authors called Squaring the Circle. It's from Glass Publishing, and I'm very pleased to welcome Alisa Ganeeva to our show today. Hello.
Hello. I'm glad to be here.
Now, you were born in 1985 during perestroika and just 4 years before the fall of the Soviet Union. Do you have any memories of that time?
I have very light memories because my father, he took part in perestroika movements in my native Dagestan, and sometimes he took me to participate in protests, and I saw huge crowds of people around the monument of Lenin with slogans and so on, and I was very fascinated to see it.
But much has been written about the fact that your generation of writers escaped the Soviet experience, and so you're not dealing with that transition from totalitarianism to, I guess, relative freedom. I don't know if we can call Putin Russia totally free.
I agree with you. We are really totally free from those Soviet memories, and we don't rally around any one idea, and our stylistic games and stylistic devices are not similar, and we all create our own universes.
Now, you were born in Moscow, but you moved to Dagestan when you were just 2 months old or so,
yes.
And grew up in the capital of the Russian Republic of Dagestan. I would say the name, but it's intimidating.
Makhachkala.
For those who are unfamiliar with the vastness of the Russian geography, where is Dagestan?
Dagestan is in the south of Russia. It's the most southern part of it. It's situated between Caucasian Mountains and Caspian Sea. In fact, it's not a sea. It's the biggest lake in the world. And it's not very salty, and seals live there. And Caucasian Mountains are very high, and the highest point is about 5 kilometers.
So it's called part of the Caucasus.
Sorry?
It's considered a Caucasus Republic. There's been a low-level Islamic insurgency in the region for a long time, hasn't there been? Did that happen after the fall of the Soviet Union?
After perestroika, lots of people all around Russia became interested in religion, and especially in Dagestan, many young people, they traveled abroad, especially to the Eastern Arabic world, and studied there. And when they returned to their motherland, they realized that their parents, they are not following Islamic laws, and they became angry, and there began a sort of generation gap between children and parents, and it... sorry... So young men, they leave their houses, abandon their families, and go to the forests, live there in the camps, and explode and kill policemen. They believe that independent Islamic State will solve all the problems of corruption and police lawlessness, and that's why they are enchanted by these ideas.
Well, what is the government of Dagestan like now? Is the leadership, the old communist apparatchiks, who then just kind of adjusted themselves to the new situation?
Actually, the government didn't change much after perestroika. The same people, they survived on the same places. And you see, there are 102 nationalities and ethnic minorities in Dagestan with ethnic characteristics and languages and dialects and customs of their own. So a president of Dagestan might be only Avar or Dargin. The major nations of Dagestan.
And Avar is one of the languages of the area. Do people speak Russian? Do they speak Avar? Or do they speak a Russian that is affected by Avar?
In villages, they do speak different native and local languages, Avar, Dargin, Lak, and so on. But in towns like in Makhachkala, everybody is melted and mixed, and it's a melting pot of all these people. So they talk in a peculiar Dagestani version of Russian language with inclusions of local words and Arabic words.
And that's what you did in writing this story. You included some of that, which makes the story a bit more startling, although when I read it in translation, I only can guess at how you've worked that out. But is this mostly a Muslim area? Because in your short story, Salam Dalgat, the girls wear hijabs, and the men ride around in foreign cars carrying guns, talking about revolution and about Wahhabism, all sorts of things that probably weren't discussed in the Soviet time.
Yes, most of the population of Dagestan are Muslims. There is one nation who are Jews, actually. But you see, the religion in Dagestan was always very superficial, and some of ethnic minorities were converted into Islam only in the end of 19th century. So paganistic and Christian motives and ways of life are still surviving there. So it's the kind of mixture of different worldviews and religions. But now, in the beginning of 90s, the strict Islamic fashion begin there, and especially young people, they believe that we all must follow Quran strictly.
Well, you left, you went back to your place of birth, Moscow, to study writing. So did you go because you could not have studied writing in Dagestan? I mean, you did go to the most prestigious literary school in all of Russia, the Literary Institute. Was it hard to get into?
It was when I studied at school in Dagestan, I heard a lot about that literary institute, which was established by Gorky to allow budding working writers to glorify Soviet regime and so on. But fortunately now it's exact opposite. It doesn't grow up working writers. It allows us to study philologic and humanitarian subjects, and there are creative writing courses.
My guest is Anlisa Ganeva, who won a prize in 2009 for her story Salam Dalgat, which is available in an anthology of debut prize authors called Squaring the Circle. But you've also write literary criticism. Were you publishing literary criticism when you wrote that story?
When I started at Literary Institute, I studied criticism, and I wrote and was published as an essay writer. So everybody in Moscow knew me as an essay writer. And that's why I took the male pseudonym when I wrote my first fiction piece of prose. And so,
but you'd also been writing children's stories, or did that come later?
They came simultaneously with my criticism work, and they're sort of avant-garde and absurd stories. So when I wrote my first long story called Salam Dalgat, I sent the manuscript to the competition of the debut prize, and it was a sort of psychological experiment for me. It's always, I was curious, what does it mean to be a man? And my imaginary author called Gulay Khirachev was like my character. And I even found the photo of this character and sent it to Olga Slavnikova, the director of debut prize, and she was sure that I'm a brutal, unshaved man from the mountains. And during the awarding ceremony, And during the awarding ceremony, I came on the stage, everybody was stunned, and I was surprised that this trick succeeded, but it did. And there are still people who believe that Gulay Khirachev does exist and lives in my garret and in the slavery. And I urge
that you're just a cover for him because he's in hiding, because he's a revolutionary. Now, Gula means bullet, doesn't it, in Avar?
It's a bullet in Avar.
And people would assume that Khirachev is a man because it's a male name. Would a woman be named Khirachev?
No, it's certainly it's a male surname.
Mm-hmm. And you must have felt very proud that everybody believed that you were a man.
When one of the jury members knew that I'm a woman, he began shouting,
Well, we realize that English is not your first language, not your second language.
Sorry.
You're doing very well.
When one of the jury's member, well-known writer in Russia, when he realized that I am a woman, he began shouting and crying and running around the room, and he began to reread this story to find the tokens of the women's style, women's pain.
didn't do it. What happened back home? Weren't some people angered by what you'd written? They said you were godless and that you had violated some of the secrets of the place you'd grown up in.
Surely, the party... once more. Some of my readers in Dagestan began to accuse me of godlessness and of damaging my country's image and of washing dirty linen in public. And they said, how could she write the truth about our region? We must write only about positive things because people think that only terrorists live in Caucasus and we must make them to think...
That only good things about us. But of course, what you were reporting does exist. We've also heard that the younger generation has been kind of supportive of Putin. There's a group called Nasha, which many young people join. But only recently that has changed. So have you attended any of the demonstrations?
I attended all the three demonstrations which took part in Moscow, and I can't say that situation changed. I can say that these young people protesting against the nowadays regime, they lived always, they existed always, but they didn't show themselves so clearly, and they didn't
go to
streets.
Because they were afraid, do you think?
I don't think that they were afraid. They were sure that they can't change the situation. But after the elections and the falsification or during elections, they felt themselves being used. And so it was a protest, a very personal protest.
Now, what about young writers in Russia today? Are they mostly influenced by the great Russian writers of the past? Or when you were going to school, were you reading world literature in general?
In the 90s, it was next to impossible for a young writer to be published and to get noticed. And then 11 years ago, the debut prize appeared. So now the situation in Russia changed, and there is even a conception called young writers in the Russian today's literary criticism, and they are called new realists, and new...
But your work isn't realistic. There's even an element of magic in the work.
Yes, you are.
Because
right.
of the Dagestani influence, I'm sure.
I think that writer's occupation is quite solitary occupation. And many writers are not used to rub shoulders and to communicate with each other. And it's very rare and precious thing that the director of debut prize, Olga Slavnikova, is not only... a wonderful writer herself, but well,
she's won the Russian Booker Prize. She's a very great writer.
And she supports her rivals, as the people of her age say. They're surprised that she does it.
So there's no censorship anymore?
I can't say that there is censorship in fiction literature because nobody pays such attention to what young writers write in their short stories. Certainly it does exist on television and in some newspapers and so on, but not on our territory.
Now we are seeing more and more of the work of these young writers. A couple of books have been published. Salam Delgat is the only one of your stories that's been translated into English. Is there a possibility you'll see some other work also translated?
No, I finished my first novel, and it's coming in Russia in spring, and I hope it will be translated in future.
But you can read Salam Delgat in a book called An Anthology of the Works of Debut Prize Authors called Squaring the Circle. It's published by Glass Publishing, GLAS, and it's available in paperback. And my great thanks to Alisa Ganeva for being my guest today on the show.
Thank you, Leonard.